Dear Seidel, I am just a filmmaking student and our questions don't have any political aspect. We just want to know of what you did for publishing this book. Anything you can remember can be very precious for me. It's totally up to you what you want to say. Sincerest regard, Sotude.
A picture from, I think, the first day. And the students are moving. This is Talaghani Avenue. And it's a peaceful protest.
I was sitting with a group of my friends on the Tehran Polytechnic Institute campus. Like just about every other student, we were caught up in a passionate debate about the takeover. It was that moment that one of the brothers, as we called the male student from the Islamic Association, hurried up to us out of breath and took me aside. He was carrying a message from the students who had occupied the Den of Spies 3 days ago. Would I join them? He blurted out. They would be needing help in interpreting and with public relations.
When the event happened, I was very young. I was about only 19 years old. And it deeply affected my perceptions about life, about politics.
Well, I felt that I have a mission to write about this event. And it was like something very heavy on my shoulders.
And it was as if these memoirs were always boiling in my mind and coming up and bubbling, and I was always thinking about those days.
The realities of the event, the realities behind the scenes, how the students thought, how they felt, how they lived those days.
This is the first interview that we had. Yeah. This is Gallegos. He is a Marine. Mm-hmm. He's a Latin American origin. And I've spoken about him in the book. He made the first interview. I delivered a 5-minute communique from the students in this interview.
When I was first asked my name, I replied that it was Mary or Maryam, a religious name common to both cultures. In the event as Mary, I became the person who had to bridge the language gap in circumstances fraught with misunderstanding.
The West has a different conception of the word hostage. They think hostages are a group of innocent people captured by terrorists. First, these are not innocent people. They are spies. They were preparing to destroy our country.
This is our story. This is my story. And I felt that this is very rewarding.
And I think it was about 1991 or 92 that the first version of the book was available. And at that time, Hassan Abdurrahman introduced me to a literary agent, Seidel, in New York.
I handled the communications of the author and trying to get the book published, which meant that I was in touch with Seidel Kramer.
Dear Seidel, my name is Sotuda, a member of a student film project in Iran. Mr. Hassan Abdurrahman informed me you can assist us. We are only interested to know about this book generally in America. Sincerest regard, Sotude.
She had a literary office where their job was to take different manuscripts to the publishers so that the publishers would publish it as a book. She was a literary agent. First instance, she welcomed the book very much. It was very interesting for her. But I was using an anonymous name, and she was very interested to learn who this person might be. First of all, she contacted the hostages. She asked them whether this was authentic material. And one of the hostages had read the first manuscript, and he had said that this is authentic material and that this is has been written by one of the students.
It's the first book from somebody who was one of his students that was in fact controlling the events. And I mean, they knew the author knew everything that had happened.
So then after that, she started sending the manuscript to different publishers.
One would have suspected, at least I would have suspected, that an American publisher would have taken on the task, but they didn't.
And it was very interesting that these publishers were initially quite interested in the book. They would start to describe how interesting such a book would be and how well received it would be. But then afterwards, they would decline.
The first draft was not wasn't accepted by anybody, and that was the state of affairs for some years.
Dear Sotoude, I understand from Hassan that you'd like to talk to me about the submissions process on the above. As I'm sure you know, those submissions took place years ago. I remember very little. Given all this, I don't know that I have anything to contribute and would prefer not to be interviewed. Thanks for your understanding, Sardo Kramer.
There's maybe about 50 American publishers, starting from the large American publishers and then going to the intermediate level publishers and even going to the smaller publishers.
But they could not tolerate somehow the fact that it had been written. It was as if the Iranian viewpoint was somehow illegitimate. And the only legitimate viewpoint is the official American viewpoint.
That we celebrated for the hostages. We tried to prepare all sorts of celebration for them in their traditional way. Four bishops had come, to American bishops and European bishops, to perform their religious rituals, and here they are, they're reading the cards that their families have brought for them.
We decorated two of the largest rooms in the chancellery with the Christmas tree and other ornaments in keeping with the American holiday season tradition. Some of the women hostages also volunteered to help bake the cakes and cookies. Early on Christmas Eve 1979, the American clergyman arrived. Other students led in the hostages in small groups. They sang Christmas carols and said prayers. Then the hostages had an opportunity to chat with Capucci and the papal representative over tea and cakes.
At the time, I did not know Masuma Ebtekar personally. I had remembered her from her days in the embassy.
But I guess it's in 1995 that, or maybe it's 94, that we brought in the Canadian writer and journalist Fred Reed.
I went to Iran. The first time we met, I happened to be there. My friend said, I know this lady who was preparing the book, and I said, oh, this is terrific. And he went on to say that, as I said before, she needs looking for assistance, had been trying to place it with American publishers without any success at all. And at the time, her feeling was that a more professional hand would somehow make it easier to do that. So we met, and we agreed that we would work together. I took the manuscript that she had prepared, the account of the embassy, came back to Montreal and began to work on it. I went back to Tehran with a tape recorder and asked her those questions. And we spent actually several hours doing in-depth interviews, trying to clarify certain matters of detail, where I thought that we could expand more, offer more detail, name names, describe situations. What kind of a day was it? Was it raining? Was it sunny? Was it hot? Was it cold?
He made the story more lively because he After that, we had many sessions together, and he edited parts of the book.
In the meantime, we had begun to approach again American publishers.
And I have to admit that I was a bit jealous that this book was now being shopped around in New York to all my powerful colleagues in the English-speaking world, and it would probably be picked up by some big publishing company who would pay a large advance for the book.
And that was again resubmitted to Seidel, and she again sent it around to so many different publishing houses.
Dear Sotude, indeed, I couldn't even tell you where I sent the material. In addition, I've changed agencies in interim and have no access to whatever files still remain in the old office. Thanks for your understanding, Sado Kramer.
Altogether, I think that this agency approached something like 40. And in all cases, the book was refused. In some cases, it was received with hostility and rejected. In some cases, a polite refusal, we don't think this fits into our list. Only one publisher said, maybe there's a potential in this book, but finally rejected it. Only one. Some said outright that this is a terrorist book and we can't publish it. And this took more than a year and a half, waiting to what would happen. As I said, no response. Refusal, polite or impolite, whatever the case may be. By that time, we'd almost given up hope.
But in quoting Dostoevsky, he says that in one passage, and I don't know what book it's in, but in one passage, he has it that, I did a man a great wrong once, and I've hated him ever since.
This is a sentence from a mom, and it says that the account of the American people is separate from the American government. We consider the American people in a different way from the American government.
One of the students came looking for me, but this time something unexpected awaited me. The two of us walked down to the gate. There happened to be an American couple, the mother and stepfather of Marine Sergeant Kevin Hemening, one of the US military men held hostage. Despite Carter's orders, she had come to visit her son. The committee weighed the risks and accepted their demand. They were with us for one day. We tried to explain to the couple why we had taken their countryman hostage, to understand why we thought and acted as we did. That evening, Sergeant Hemening spent several hours with his family. The mother and son held hands throughout the meeting.
So I called my Canadian publisher, Talon Books in Vancouver. This is a small, independent Canadian house.
Fred eventually showed me the manuscript, and I read it. I loved the manuscript.
As a publisher, he took the same position I did. This is a story that, for reasons of principle, has to be told. So we went ahead.
We don't have access to those kinds of authors very often, but I understand the importance of the book, the importance of the story. I understand how effective this could be as a tool to restore and normalize relations in the world. And somebody should publish it.
I learned that the Talon Books publisher, Mr. Ziegler, was in pressure about publishing the book. I heard that in one instance they had threatened him, and his publishing house might be damaged, or somehow he might have losses due to the publishing of the book.
It would politically position the company in a slightly more awkward, slightly more difficult, slightly more edgy place than they wanted to be as a commercial operation.
So I sent an email to him, and I told him that I would like to decline, and I don't like your publishing house to be suffering from the work that I've done. This is a cultural work that I think I have to do as a
tribute to my country, to the Islamic Revolution. He responded, and he was a bit angry, and he told me that he's also a cultural person, he's not a businessman.
Americans. Mrs. Tim and her husband were unpretentious Americans from a small town in Wisconsin. Like many Americans who know very little of their country's foreign policy, they were innocents in the true sense of the word. They began asking questions about Islam and about the causes of the revolution.
This is the kind of book that really my company exists to publish. I was astonished that a book of that stature would end up in my company, but it did. And what can I say? I was delighted to do it.
The book was published in Canada because we could not find an American publisher to do the book.
Dear Seidel, since you were the only person who had many connections with American publishers, you could be a great help on this. All that is vital to me is to know why this book didn't get published in America. Thanks a lot, Sotude.
And finally, the book was published by Talon Books by the end of the year 2000.
This is a scene from the communications room and the CIA. There's a secret vault.
Yeah.
These are vault doors. And it was a secret room where the CIA communications were directed from that room.
Javad, an engineering student, had warned us, "Don't touch it. The way the papers had fallen into barrel connects the pieces." Considering the little time the Americans had in the communication room, it was unlikely that they had been able to mix the shreds of paper. Working day and night, Javad soon came on with a formula for the probability of reconstructing the shreds of papers. One afternoon, he took a handful of shreds from the barrel, laid them on a sheet of white paper, and began grouping them. After 5 hours, we had only been able to reconstruct 20 to 30% of the two documents. One of the documents that struck me was an account of a meeting between a political officer of the embassy and an Iranian foreign minister official. The secret document was entirely devoted to a description of Imam Khomeini's residence in Qom. Everything was there, the entrances, the windows, the rooms, and even the back doors.
This was the time of Dialogue of Civilizations that Mr. Khatami launched. And you could say that this book was a part of that. It was an opening.
I think the book would have been read more widely and distributed more widely. But historically, that's what happened. I thought, and so I'm privileged to have published it. It has done at least as well as a dozen books that I can think of that I published specifically because I thought they had a real contribution to make to the world.
We can say, oh, everything is fine, everything is wonderful, our religion is for peace, and so is yours. But history of the world doesn't show that. History of the world shows rather that conflict is somehow the norm. Oppression is somehow the norm. And even though there is a norm of conflict and repression, there's also a norm of resistance to conflict and resistance to oppression. I think that's what she was getting at. So I think this book is a contribution to, in a sense, trying to educate whatever reader picks it up, that there's another way of looking at the world. But that other way of looking at the world presupposes that you take your interlocutor as an equal. And right now, for the superior civilization, the Western civilization, it's very difficult to do.
I'm totally committed to our books, and I keep them in print until there is absolutely no demand for them whatsoever. And there is still a demand for this book. People are reading this book. People continue to study this book at a reasonable level. So I continue to keep it in print.
This is, in a way, a dialogue a dialogue between the East and the West, between the North and the South, between Islam and the West, and finally between Iran and the United States. So I thought that this coincidence, because it was a matter of coincidence, we hadn't planned for the book to come out on the eve of the Year of Dialogue, but it happened so. And I felt that this coincidence is in itself conveying a message to the global community, to the American people.
There the hostages were handed over to the Algerian officials at the foot of the stairs leading to the aircraft. The count was complete. The hostage episode had ended 440 days after it had begun. We breathed a sigh of a collective relief and gave deep thanks to God that not a single hostage had been injured or harmed during the 444 difficult, precarious days of confinement. It was a matter of pride for us that we had succeeded in completing such a demanding task in a highly charged political atmosphere and under extraordinary international pressure with harmony and competence. One last communique was drafted explaining our final decision. We shall join the nation on the battlefront in the reconstruction of our country in the lecture halls. With Miss Seidel's last reply, she said, "Sorry, I'm going to pass."